morning, you can turn to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to look at three verses this morning. I was actually going to attempt a little more, and as I got into it and realized everything we had today, I'm like, let me back off a little bit and not give you too much this morning. In studying the Word, you just need to know it. We're processing our way through it. We've been in Colossians. I hope it's helped you to grow, and hopefully you're falling in love with God more and more. And as we continue to walk through it, I'm going to take us through the end of June, and we'll wrap up Colossians, and I'm praying about what we need to do as a corporate body next year. But this morning, let me look at just a few verses with you. We've been talking about how we're to live our lives basically around others. The first couple of chapters, as I said last week, of Colossians talk about how we should live. And the last two chapters is talking about how do we practically live it out. What do we do with it? I want you to know this morning, there is no other relationship closer, though, than a marriage. Marriage is about as close as it gets. And it should be one of the most important places that we live out this Christ life. How many of you agree? A few of you. Well, hopefully by the next few minutes, you'll be convinced that it should be. In fact, it's where Paul goes next in his passage in this letter when he was talking to us last week about things we need to get rid of, things we need to now live out. And he goes to this marriage thing. He goes to one of the most important places in our relationship, or one of the places that should be the most important. And if we do not have Christ in that place, basically you're saying that Christ is not very important. If he is not important in the closest relationship you have, then you're saying he's not important. But I believe he is important, and he should be in the most important relationship we have naturally here. That's why we need to pay careful attention to this next teaching. Now, next week, I'm going to look at children and parenting and the workplace. But today, I want to talk about marriage. This morning, I just want to give you some real brief principles in regards to marriage. They're just introductory because there's no way in depth I could cover everything that the Bible has to say about marriage and how to walk that life out daily. But I just want to cover a few things. Let me begin with our scripture this morning, Colossians 3. And I want to pick up verse 17 from last week. How many believe it's important to read the Bible in context? I do not want to pick and choose scriptures. This scripture precedes what we're going to read as our key passages for today. Verse 17 says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Everything you do. How many of you got married? That was a deed. You should have done it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Many marriages do not happen that way. But according to the Word of God, it should have happened that way. I can't go back and redo, but what we can is we can pick up this day forward because of the Word of God. Because you're still in the deed. So we pick it up and we begin to walk it out that way. Because listen to what he deals with in the next two verses. Verse 18, "Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them." Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Teach us, instruct us. Holy Spirit, give us understanding today. Lord, we do not want to listen to what the world says about these scriptures. We want to listen to what heaven says about these scriptures. And Lord, we want to do everything in word and deed in the name of the Lord and give thanks to you. For you are good and you have done everything well. In Jesus' name, thank you for your word. Amen. Now, before I continue in this thought this morning, I want to clarify something. I know that divorce happens. And sometimes there's one person in a relationship that's committed to giving everything and the other isn't. Sometimes there's a person there committed to being faithful and the other person isn't. Some enter that marriage and they live very responsibly, and the other person lives a little bit more recklessly, and therefore putting the family at risk. And therefore divorce happens. And I know that divorce is painful. And this morning, it's not my intent to increase the pain by making anyone feel condemned because of what you've gone through. I do not want you to feel like a failure this morning. That's not my intent. I do not want you, as maybe a divorced person, or maybe even you as a single person this morning, to feel excluded from this message. I'm asking you for your understanding and your patience with me this morning as we walk through this, because the Bible is clear about marriage. And it is important, and all of us can learn lessons from it this morning. In fact, you young folks, take notes. It's important for you. All right? Is everybody okay with me so far? You still love me? Sometimes we can be so politically correct in these moments that we don't deal with what the Bible deals with. And people do not want to deal with these passages anymore. Let's just avoid them. Let's just move. But guess what? I'm caught. How could I skip over it when it sits stuck right in the middle of Colossians? So here it is for you this morning. Here we go. Number one, you need to understand that God's approach to marriage is the best approach to marriage. What is it? One man, one woman, becoming one. I got one amen out of that. I got one preaching out of it. Church, we're in a culture and a society that wants to go against this. But I'm telling you the truth. God did not create Adam and Steve. He created Adam and Eve. Let me pause, because I get caught here. In fact, me and a pastor this week, the First Baptist pastor, we wept over this week together. Our United Methodist Church, right here in Northville City, and you would want to think, right here in Northville, not much is happening. But they have a homosexual that's leading their worship, because they allow that. Church, I'm not against homosexuals. I'm against the lifestyle. I'm not against the person. I know that other churches are taking different stands on this. And church, I have to only tell you what I believe the Word of God to be. And I don't want to be harsh about it, and I want to be careful that I'm not putting down anybody else. But the Bible says in these last days we need to be careful, because there will be false teaching. And it may come from those who seem like everything's fine and dandy. I drove by one of our United Methodist Church, and I still see the cross with the flame representing the Holy Spirit. And many of them have gone awry. Not all the people in the church. So don't group them all together. But I know that their leadership is leading them in a wrong direction, church. And yet, the Methodists in the early days of America, with the circuit-riding preachers that went across this land preaching truth, I don't want to forget that. But that does not mean I need to continue to follow everything they teach. We keep coming back to the Word. One man, one woman, becoming one. It's a challenge for us to understand that. I can only use a couple of illustrations. One is a rope. If I could use a rope, the Bible talks about a threefold cord. That means three ropes that are intertwined together become stronger than one rope by itself. And it's representing, of course, a man and a woman and God being a part of that relationship. That's what that's referring to. But it's interesting that once they're intertwined, it's just one rope. And that's the illustration that God is trying to get across to us about Christ and the church. He's the head, we're the body, and it's just one. And this marriage is a mystery to that. that the two become one. When you take two pieces of metal and you weld them together, the place where they're welded or married together becomes stronger than the piece of metal anywhere else. In fact, it can break back here. That's why you rely on the oneness where you are welded or married together. And that is what God is trying to get across. But in our world, the approach has been largely dismissed in our culture today. People tell us that sexual purity is impractical today. I'm telling you what, it's not impractical. More and more couples are choosing to live together without any commitment. I do not believe that should happen. Many suggest that marriage, that if you restrict it to just one man, one woman, that you're being judgmental. Church, this is not man-made criteria or standards. It is God's mandate. It is God's criteria. God called men and women to marry so they could procreate. And it does not happen with same sex. Get a clue. Now, you say, Pastor, I can't believe you're talking about this stuff. Church, you need to know, because we are in a challenging day. God wants one man, one woman becoming one. What Paul is writing about here is not just, he's not writing to culture. He is writing something that is foundational for us. Wives and husbands. Number two is this point. Marriage is more about giving than getting. Say that with me. Marriage is about giving. Whenever men and women look at these passages, husbands and wives, when we look at it, we tend to focus on the wrong things. In fact, when a man reads the passage about wives and he reads it, he goes, man, I like this idea. Me Tarzan, she Jane. That's the way men read it. But the ape never reads the next verse about husbands loving their wives. The wives hear the teaching and they say, well, you don't know my husband. I can't submit to him. And the wife then looks at the next verse and says, well, if I had a husband like that, I'd follow him anywhere. But rather than to come to this passage and put on boxing gloves, because we tend to look at passages like this and we're against them because we don't understand them. And this morning, I want to come seeking what God is driving at. What is God teaching in this? Because I'm afraid that through the years, probably you may have been mistaught what this is talking about. Once you see that marriage is not about women serving men, but it's about men and women serving together, that's what it's about. And then the emphasis you begin to realize in these verses is on what we give to each other. Look at Ephesians 5:21 for a moment. In another book that Paul writes, he gives us some instructions, and this is what he says in verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And he's talking to both the husband and the wife. This submitting thing isn't just one way, it's both. And we do it out of our reverence because of our Christ life that's in us. The context of this command is of mutual submission. The focus is on giving, not getting. Contrary to public opinion, the biblical view of marriage is not just one-sided. And I know a lot of people want to enter it that way. They think it's about women becoming servants of men. But I believe it's about two people working hard to give themselves to enrich each other and to encourage each other. 1 Peter, he writes it this way in verse 1 of chapter 3. He says, wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands. And then down in verse 7, he says this, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. Now, what question should come out of this verse? I believe it should be this, husbands, live the same way as what? What is he talking about? What is the same way? What's he mean? He says, be considerate. Yeah, but what's the same way? Well, you need to go back to 1 Peter chapter 2, where Paul is talking to him, first of all, about submitting to authority, showing respect in verse 17 for everyone. Paul talking to slaves, submit to your masters and do it with respect. And then he tells us in verse 21 to follow your example and have the attitude of Christ Jesus. What if we had the same attitude as Christ Jesus had? Entering into our marriage, entering into our home. The biblical teaching about marriage urges us to put the other person first. Our concern should be about what we can give to the relationship. I know that we live in a time where the primary focus in our world is what can I get out of a relationship. But that is not the biblical response. It's what I can give to the relationship. To see what you can get is selfish, and it's not Christ-like. Christ came and he gave himself. True Christianity, true Christ-likeness seeks to change the focus from me to you. I look at my friend Tim. Tim is giving of himself, going to India, not to see what he can get, but what he can give. It isn't just about in the marriage. It's about our life, my Christ walk, me being submissive to the Holy Spirit and me seeing what I can give to others. And that's what he wants in this close relationship. Let me talk to the wives for a moment. Are you ready? Seatbelts on. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Listen, submission is not an issue of your worth or your value. Submission is just yielding and resigning yourself to God's will in your marriage. It's about what you can give to the marriage, and in doing that, you please and you honor the Lord. It's fitting in the Lord to do that. Husbands, you ready for your word? Yours is a bit longer. Because I believe too much emphasis has been taught and been driven on this point and misunderstood. So husbands, here it is. Paul's words to the husbands is, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Paul made sure that his words about submission, though, are not misinterpreted, because you're going to hear it. This submission is not one-sided. Husbands, you are co-workers in this marriage relationship. Ephesians comes and he amplifies this point by saying this in Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives. You heard that before, right? Just as. Men, say that. Just as, say it with me, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. As I read these words, it seems to me that it should be the men who are complaining and not the women. Many women, I'm not submitting. Men, I don't want to love her. Is that what we should be doing? Neither one of us should be doing that. We have been called to this. Husbands, you are told to love your wives as Christ loved the church. And unless I am mistaken, and I don't think I am, Christ gave up his life for the church. And in like fashion, just as Christ, men, in like fashion, we should be devoted to our wives, and that we should protect them. We should work to save them, and we should work to build them up. So what does that mean? Men, you should love realistically. You need to really love them. It needs to show. It needs to be valid. You need to love sacrificially. You need to give up whatever it is. I know you might like golf, but you need to like your wife better. Church, it's the things that we put ahead. Love purposefully. I think this is where men have lost their purpose in the marriage. We lose sight. If I could tell any of you men, and I've read it to staff and to my deacons and to some others, men, if I could tell you any passage to read in the Bible, I would send you to Proverbs chapter 5. Read it every day, over and over. It talks about an adulteress and their lures. And what it tells you as a husband, it says, you go dip in your own well. You go to your own cistern. You don't need to be dipping out of anybody else's. If you will get purposeful about your love towards your wife, then you will never lose that purpose. But we kind of lose sight of it. We forget why we got married. I was kind of joking with my board the other day. I don't know. We don't know when middle age starts. Somewhere. The church, this pastor, I'm going to do everything I can early on. I am guarding it. And for my wife's sake, and for your sake, and for the Lord. Church, I want to be pure for my wife. I want to be pure for you. And I'm going to work hard at it. Because church, I'm going to be purposeful in my love toward my wife. That's what I want to do. I don't need to drink from anything else. I want you to love personally. Don't send somebody else on your errands. My kids this year tried to be kind, and they were. They went and bought her Mother's Day card for me. Said, Dad, this is what you would get. I appreciated it. But man, we need to do these things personally. Amen? And love spiritually. You are the leader of your home. If you'll begin to lead by the Spirit's leading, men, this whole thing of submission, it comes so naturally. It's so much more natural for the lady if we would take our spiritual role and begin to do what God's called us to do, to love. You know what would happen if we did that? Our wives would get so giddy with joy if we knew how to love them. They follow us anywhere. And then we might find out what it really means to be married. What does it mean? Christ and His church. I tell you, Christ needs to be in your home. Christ needs to be in your home. He needs to be in your marriage. Does it make us perfect? In fact, when I read the part, don't be harsh with your wife, it reminded me of times that I was kind of harsh. And I've had to apologize. There's times, believe it or not, I raised my voice at my wife. I had to apologize. I don't know that I apologize for every one of them. I'm trying. Men, I'm asking you, step up with me. Don't lag behind. It's something that's on my heart, and I'll close with this thought today. I'm kind of in this mode, and I haven't worked through all my thoughts. That's why none of this is written. But I'm in a place, church, that we have got to begin to speak truth to each other. We've got to be more preventive in our walk with one another. And if we see each other straying or falling, we don't need to beat each other down. We need to show up and help each other get back up. So, church, I'm going to be watching you. I'll watch where you go. I want to watch how you live because I want to help you grow in Christ. Men, I'm asking you to step up with me and let's love our wives. What wives, I'm asking you to do what the Bible has called you to do. Submission is giving what you have to the marriage also. And if we mutually give, I believe God will bless. For where there is unity, He commands His blessing. You see where one becomes so powerful. Because God speaks and says, I command blessing there. I want Him to command His blessing over your home. You want me to come and bless it? Tell you what, you walk in unity, and He'll be commanding the blessing. Church, as we walk through this, next week we'll look at parenting. We'll look at our kids and our workplace, how we're to live there. Next week I've already titled it Christ in the Heart, because I need him wherever I go. So church, that's it for today. That's all I got to say. The Holy Spirit has to work it into your life. You just keep kneading it in. You say, God, I need that. I want that. Because whatever you do, do not forget that scripture. In word or deed. You got it? You see the context now? Because you're about to go home and you're going to be with a wife. You're going to be with a child. You're going to be with your work person throughout this week. Whatever that be. Whatever. Word or deed. Do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. You see where that fits? And it fits in your marriage. Amen? Lord, over your church, I just pray today. God, we need you. Husbands and wives, we need you. We want you to be first. And then, God, we want you to bless our marriages. Lord, I pray this morning that you will grow us and walk us into this life that you've called us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Kind of solemn, huh? It's okay. It's all right to end service like that every once in a while. Y'all are like, yeah. You want, whip it up, Pastor, make us happy. Church, you just follow the word and you'll find happiness in the Lord. Amen? All right. Go in the grace and go in the power of God. God bless you.